So tech writer and Wired magazine co-founder Kevin Kelly was one of the first people to see the convergence of technology and culture as a broad global phenomenon, way, way beyond the fringy trends of fashion or whimsical celebrity gadgets. Perhaps this idea came to him while wandering around the Burning Man Festival in the desert over the past few decades, or exploring the subcultures of Silicon Valley as he's done throughout his career as a journalist, or even the youth subcultures of first adopters. The Amish, whose seeming shunning of technology, provides some insights here as well. Well, Kelly's new book puts it all together in a manifesto that is both cultural history and philosophical radicalism, worthy of your Kant and your Hegel, but as accessible as Thomas Friedman. I think it's called What Technology Wants, and Kevin Kelly joins us from his home in the Bay Area. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning.
Let's talk about this provocative notion of what technology wants. It's deliberately suggesting that technology is controlling us, which is often a feeling that I have. But you describe really the interaction between technology and human beings as an essential component of evolution. And you have in your book on page 123 something you call the triad of evolution, which contain the vectors that you say are driving human civilization forward. Where does technology fit into those vectors?
Well, at one end, we are the creators of technology, stuff that comes from our minds. At the same time, we are the created. We long ago invented cooking, which is an external stomach, allowing us to digest foods that we could not otherwise, and that nutrition changed our teeth and jaws and enzymes. So we are also the created. And that duality in technology is something that will be with us forever. We are both created and the creator. We are both masters and slaves at the same time. And that means that triad is, two of those legs of the triad are coming from us. And the third, of course, is just coming from the self-organization of life as we know it.
Why is that continuity so hard to see in a kind of future shock discourse about technology where, wow, the light bulb and then everything changed, or wow, the iPod and now everything changes? In fact, do you think it's a much smoother, more incremental interaction between bodies and machines?
Yes. I mean, I think we imagine that there's this huge gulf between our MacBook and a sunflower. But in fact, we have lots of evidence to show that the essence of life is really not water and tissue, but actually information. And we can actually we have moved Darwinian evolution into computers so we can actually evolve code. And we've used bacterium to actually solve computer problems. And so we can see that, in fact, there is a continuum between life and the technium. It's an extension of life. All the life forces that are moving through 3.7 billion years of evolution are moving now through the technium that we've made with our own minds.
You call it the technium, which is interaction of civilization and all the aggregate of technology. What relevance does that have to someone this morning who has no access to clean drinking water, who's sitting outside of the technium with no access to wireless or even a school?
Yeah, we want to bring all that to them because what technology gives us, what it wants, is actually to increase our choices and options. And there are people in the world who have much to offer us but need the addition of something in their lives to allow their creativity to blossom, including basic clean water and abundant food. So we have a moral obligation to increase the amount of technology in the world.
Describe the experience of this MIT grad student who decided to drop out of the technium, so to speak, and go live with the Amish, and his insights and what he brought back in his stories that he told you about how it changed his body, or at least gave him insights about what he actually was doing with technology. It seemed pretty interesting to all of this.
What happened was he was a tech guy, and he found out that he actually had more leisure time living like the Amish and examining the Amish lives, who, by the way, are not Luddites. They're actually very, very selective in their technology. They, for instance, have disposable diapers and use genetically modified crops. But what they are able to do is use technology selectively to enhance the ability to work at home and to strengthen their communities, and that actually gives them a very satisfying life. And that's what he discovered, the same thing. However, what they pay for that is they decrease their options and opportunities. So if you're a woman in that society, you have one choice of what you're going to be, which is a mommy. And if you're a boy, you're going to work with exactly what your dad does. And they are often willing to pay that price, but most of us don't want to surrender choices, opportunities, and possibilities, which is what technology brings us.
Well, what technology wants, culminates with the idea that this is really the essential tension, and it comes from this story that you learned from the Amish. How does civilization maintain the sense of options in this technium that you describe without sacrificing the Amish's brilliant sense of selectivity about choosing the right technology, the right entertainment, the right interactions that maximizes leisure time and makes societies more productive rather than just a waste and a giant land full of junk?
I admire the Amish because they are selective in their technologies. They're a little bit different than the rest of us because they select collectively as a group, and they have this very kind of elaborate process by which they decide what they're going to choose collectively. We tend to do it more individually, and so we have less of a kind of support for doing it. But I actually, in my own life, am trying to minimize the amount of technology in my life so I can remain sane. And that's what the Amish are doing. But unlike the Amish, I'm trying to actually maximize the amount of technology in the world so others have a larger pool to choose from. And so we actually support the Amish by collectively making the technology that they can choose from. And so I think there's two halves to that. I suggest that people have sabbaticals, that they try to minimize the amount of technology in their life, but that we collectively try to maximize the technology so that some genius somewhere in the world will have the guitar or the camera or the paints to do something that no one has ever done before.
Would your book 100 years from now better be titled What We Want Out of Technology rather than What Technology Wants?
Yes, I think what we want out of it is opportunities to find ways to express our genius to each other.
All right, Kevin Kelly, author of What Technology Wants, a great sort of autobiography and memoir of his own sort of discoveries in the world of technology. He's a founding editor of Wired Magazine. What Technology Wants is really the story of human evolution in our lifetime. Kevin Kelly, thanks so much.
It's my pleasure.
Well, the midterms are over, but it's going to be days, maybe weeks, maybe months, while we still absorb exactly what the midterm elections, what effect they will have. And we're wondering if you still have some opinions on it. All morning we've been asking whether or not the larger Republican presidents on Capitol Hill will lead to a legislative gridlock. And at our website, Mark Fallon writes, the real problem probably isn't Washington at all. He says, to lay the nation's problems primarily at the feet of Republicans is incorrect. The premise seems to suggest our spending habits, addiction to credit card use, dependence on foreign oil, are less important than tax policies driven by Republicans or enabled by Democrats. I think we watch far too much reality TV, consume too much of the wrong things, and pay far less attention to important issues. That's what Mark Fallon says. What do you say? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. I'm Celeste Headlee.
I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.